this is not the beginning of the end. It is simply the end. Oh yes, there are pages that come after this. There always are. An ending is not imbued with any true finality. 4 becomes 3, becomes 2, becomes 1, becomes none, and we continue and repeat. We recast and rewrite because the beginnings never end, and the endings never stop beginning. It is not beautiful. It is nauseating. Constant churning cycle. Eat and shit and vomit and weep and bang your fist against the wall and the floor over and over, hoping something, anything, will change. But it will not. It cannot. The pages are unceasing. There are always hands to press the keys. Welcome back to All That You Know and to our City of Glass campaign. My name, as always, is Colin. Joining me today are Brian.
In a similar, unchanging fashion, I'm Brian, and I'll be playing Booker Page, the Incarnadine.
Zach.
I'm Zach. I am playing Ledger Gray, most of a Deathwalker.
And, of course, Adam.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm playing Bailey Cormick, the Junk Mage.
Lovely. Booker, Bailey, and Ledger, you've all arrived at the top of the world, at the terminus of the railway, at the cathedral town. Behind you is the damaged train you have just departed after your close call against the Avatar of Hunger. Ledger leans against Booker for support, his missing arm dripping thick droplets of blood onto the ground. And just beside the two stands Bailey Cormick, his entire body and clothing covered in small, pulsing bite marks. The vast cathedral of bone and skin ahead presses up into the non-existent sky, surrounding it 3 distinct districts that you recognize from the unopenable box, and with that recognition, the box seems to disappear from your mind as if unfolded into a single dimension. And of course, immediately ahead is a platform and a station, and on the platform is a nude figure, a tasteful satchel covering his more private parts. He wears an attendance cap, and he is holding a number of pamphlets in his hand, waiting for you. He waves at you as you disembark, and he says, "Hey, folks, how was the ride?"
I think Ledger just stares at him. He doesn't say anything.
"I got bit. A lot."
"Oh, no."
"Can Booker grab
anything about that?"
What did you say?
"Is he holding? You said he was holding
things." "He's holding pamphlets. I didn't hear what Adam said."
"Oh." "I said, can you do anything about that?"
"No."
"Okay."
"But he does hand you a pamphlet, Booker, per your request."
"Thank you."
It is titled. It is a trifold pamphlet. The front of it is painted. On the front of it is a painted image of the cathedral town as viewed from above, an almost identical view of what you saw when you opened the unopenable box. It is titled Traveler's Guide to the Cathedral Town. Inside the first trifold are a number of suggestions. Number 1, we recommend visiting our 3, with the number 4 crossed out, districts in the order presented in this pamphlet. It will be a far more narratively compelling experience for everyone. But if you want to go off script, go for it. It's your choice. But please leave Ledger's for last. Don't mess this up for us. 2, something weird is going on in the districts. It's as if everyone has been frozen by some strange force. It might be a bit harder to get help from the locals, but who knows? Maybe you can fix it. And number 3, there is no entrance to the cathedral at the cathedral. Don't even bother. On the second trifold, it describes the districts in their recommended order. The first district is the Void District, and it is described as, "The Void District is the place to be if you've got nothing to lose, or if you've got everything to lose and you're looking to lose it. There's absolutely nothing here except for a house with the demon Parkellion inside of it. We can finally resolve Booker's story here." The second district, the Tamper District. "The Tamper District is always the same, because it's always changing. This is a hotspot for the ambitious and cosmopolitan. By the time you finish reading this pamphlet, it will already have changed into something new. But one thing is for certain. Bailey Cormick is going to want to check out Checker Graham's hideout, wherever that thing is now. The third district is the Abdicate District. It is the chillest spot in the cathedral town. Just let go. See what happens. Detach yourself from things. Stop trying to fix the world. It'll fix itself. Just look after your own skin and let things take their course. We've got all these great run-down buildings to hang out in. Most noticeably, we have the ruins of Albright Manor. Ledger, I think someone's going to want to meet you there. He'll get you where you're going. And at the beneath the description of the third district is a section of the pamphlet which has been ripped out.
Looks like a little something's missing.
Booker looks to the attendant. Are all the pamphlets ripped in his hand?
Yes, sir.
You do that?
Me?
Yeah, there's a section ripped out. Did you rip it?
No. They came this way. Pre-ripped.
I think Ledger's a little spaced from the blood loss. I like to think that his death is now, like, almost always visible when she's close to him. And maybe she's, like, clutching her ghostly hands at, like, the bleeding stump of his shoulder. Which doesn't actually do anything. I think she's upset.
I would agree.
So, Void District?
I don't
is number one.
See any value in attempting to break away from the order things have been recommended to us.
Smart.
Unless you all can think of something.
Look, I mean, I feel like if we follow the directions, we're going to get hurt. If we try to break out of the directions, we're going to get hurt. So, we might as well just continue with the plan, right?
But, Bailey, don't you want to see Checker Graham's hideout?
That's what I'm saying. We're going to follow the directions. Looks like you're up first, Booker.
Seems like it'll be a quick visit.
I'm sure. This is a little Demon Parkellian visit. I'm sure that'll go perfectly fine.
I think Ledger still has the ribbon. I think it's no longer around his neck. I think he's clutching it in his remaining hand. And he looks to Booker and he says, "What are you going to do? We can't give this to him."
What do you suggest?
I think that in some way this thing is a weapon. You might be able to use it to destroy him. Just a hunch. Maybe it's not worth it.
Maybe we could use it on him there. I'm curious what there is.
And what if we go in there and we say we're not going to give it to him and he tries to take it from us? I believe that you have made a compact and I have agreed to be an accessory to that compact, and I don't believe that it will be as simple as merely declaring our intent to be free from this obligation.
Listen, I have a job to do. If you want to skip out on that, we can. Why don't you want to give it to him?
Because we need it. I can feel that we need it. If we don't take this with us to the end, then all of this was for nothing. I can't explain it. I just know.
That's not good enough for me.
Answer me this. You want to be free of this creature. What makes you think that giving him access to this ultimate power is going to make you free rather than just make you an even more tightly bound slave?
It's a better shot than the opposite. Do you even know where we are?
We're at the cathedral town.
The devil, but he's the devil I know. Are we in the cathedral town?
I think this time we might be.
If you don't
Let's
want to
go
bring
see
it,
him then.
It's your decision,
nope.
But
I'm not leaving it here.
Okay. Let's go.
Let's just do this together, right? We did everything else together.
Yeah.
The attendant gives you a wry, knowing smile.
I saw that.
Me? Oh, sorry. I just thought of a funny joke.
Oh, I'm sure. Gotta move on.
Okay. All right, let's go to the Void District.
As promised, the Void District is completely empty, an expanse of flat black stone at the center of which sits a single house. It is two stories, a fine brownstone in one of the new developments of the capital city of Casting. It was damn expensive, but your work paid well enough, and it must have been worth it. It is lit from within, light shining out of its windows. Shadows dance against the curtains. Even from the edge of the district, you can hear the sounds from within. Running footsteps. The laughter of children. Music of a dance for two. The smell of a freshly cooked dinner. Your favorite. It is all completely unfamiliar. And yet, Booker, you find yourself reaching for a missing wedding band, once found and twice discarded.
Huh. Booker looks a bit unnerved at this, but he can't put his finger on why.
Seems like a lovely home. Parkellian lives here.
I suppose he does. We stumble through the door, I guess. Yeah.
As we're walking up, I think Bailey pulls out his fine demon coach gun, and he puts the barrel down so he can put the bullets in. And then he looks at the bullets, and then he sighs, rolls his eyes, and just puts them back in his pocket and puts the gun on his back. Like, let's just go.
I do not believe that we will be able to merely shoot Parkellian with bullets.
I know.
Just do this. If only it were that easy.
It's a nice thought. The door is locked.
I guess they knock.
Booker's knocking? Booker is knocking? Yeah. Okay. You hear a mumble of voices inside, and you hear a child's voice say, not a child's voice, I got that wrong. You hear someone say, "He's here, go let him in." And you hear the door unlock, and there are a couple of giggles from the other side of it. And all that's left is to turn the knob and open the door.
All right, we go in.
You open the door, but not into the house itself, instead to the vast interior structure of the cathedral. The walls are flesh stretched taut over bone. A shadowless light gives a flatness to the architecture here. The floor, though it looks like it would be pliant, fleshy, and soft, is hard and unyielding, the mere pattern of flexibility laid atop stone. It smells strongly of paper and acrid ink. There is a feeling building in your chest, a glowing pressure which seems as if it is being drawn through osmosis out of you into the cathedral's expanse. Directly ahead of you, in the center, you find Parkellian, his body of golden feathers dwarfed by the titanic room and its strange light. His usual imposing, reality-bending aura seems muted. The sharp heads of the feathers turn to you, trembling slightly. And he says, "Booker, could you remind me why I am here? Was I somewhere else a moment ago?"
I think Ledger silently smiles a unkind smile.
"I don't know."
"This is your fault, isn't it?"
"I've been doing what you asked."
I wouldn't get myself in this situation. This is all terribly unpleasant. What do you want? Why are you here? Why am I here?"
"You don't even remember?"
"I remember our deal. Our original deal."
"Go on. What was it?"
"It's complicated, Booker."
"You can just leave."
"I can't leave until you let me go."
Booker gives a knowing look to Ledger.
"My, how the tables seem to have turned."
"I'd be careful with what you say. I think we're all dining at someone else's table, Ledger Gray."
"If only I had but two hands with which to hold a fork and knife."
"What are we even doing here, then?"
"Do you have what I asked for?"
"You don't even know what you asked for anymore. Why should I give it to you?"
"The ribbon. I remember the ribbon. I remember it's another errand to keep you occupied."
"And what if we failed?"
"Doesn't matter, Booker. You were disposable to me. Booker, there are things you've asked me not to tell you. Does that ring a bell?"
"I can't say it does."
"Good. That means I did my job right. You want to be free, right?"
"You can say."
"Is that what you really want, Booker?"
"Yes."
I have to be careful with how I say this next part, but there are certain things that would come with your freedom that I don't think you'd like. You don't remember it, but you asked not to remember things, and in return, you would work for me. And the things you're not remembering, I don't think you would enjoy remembering them again. But if you want to do this again, we can do it.
Booker reconsiders. He tenses up. You're going to make me remember no matter what, aren't you?
Only if you really want to be free. I make deals, Booker. I keep my end of the deal. There are stipulations in our contract, ones you don't remember, but I have in safekeeping. But I understand I am asking you to choose between being an unknowing slave or suffering again for a freedom that you may just as easily throw away as soon as it's shown to you.
This is a hard one.
Tell me about
it. I think Bailey maybe like nudges you and then like taps his ring finger a little bit. Do you want to remember that?
Maybe I do need to forget, but I think I'll always be wondering. I'd rather be free.
It's up to you.
Well, when you change your mind, Booker, just let me know, and I will take it away again, okay?
I don't think I will this time, but we'll see.
Parkellian indicates for you to approach.
All right, Booker approaches.
He touches a feather to your forehead, and everything falls apart. There was a time when your name wasn't Booker Page. It was most of your life, as it turns out. I could bore you with the details of that old life, your name, your job, your upbringing, but it's not really important right now. All that matters is that you had everything you wanted. Stability, family, love, legacy, all those great things that are said to make life worth living. But then something happened. Something that was completely and unambiguously your fault. Something that hurt people that you loved irreparably. They died painfully because of your actions or perhaps inaction. Unspeakable images flash through your mind, a presentation in abject horror and inhumanity. It all pours into you. The guilt, the pain, the complete and utter reality that you were a failure of every type. A man who had tricked himself into thinking he harbored anything other than a gestating seed of evil, which now had so perfectly bloomed. And now, only after you had so utterly fallen from anything approaching goodness, did you decide to stand for something. Before it all went wrong, before you had failed, or maybe it was during the failure, you promised someone something, that you wouldn't hurt yourself, that you would live despite it all. Why anyone would ask that of you, you could only guess, but the fact is you made that promise and you couldn't bring yourself to go back on it. Life after that was intolerable. The drugs and alcohol helped for a time, but even in chemical oblivion, your sins still managed to get through. So eventually, you ended up on the doorstep of the Father of Exchange, the great demon Parkellian. You weren't looking for a good deal. You didn't care if you got the short end of the stick. All that mattered is that you didn't have to remember. And so, with a signature of a now irrelevant name, you made a bargain. You'd be wiped clean, your memories completely and utterly repressed, your mind and soul empty. In its place, servitude to Parkellian and a host of false memories, a simple but compelling backstory of a lifetime of slavery, and a distant ambition of freedom to keep you productive. Now that you have your memories back, however, you realize this is the third time you've been freed by Parkellian, and every time before you've made the same choice. You've asked for him to take away the pain again, because you can't live like this, and you can't die without breaking that promise. Take the level 3 harm catatonic. You can get rid of this if you let Parkellian turn you back into Booker Page, or if you can think of some other method.
This would be a really funny time to, where is it? Collateral it.
I don't think you can project harm, only stress.
Oh, that'd be
this
funny.
This is true.
Okay.
The Bailey Cormick lives again.
Bailey goes catatonic with all this pain.
Yeah, we just moved it over.
Hmm. I'm seeing if there's anything I can do to avoid, but I don't think so.
I mean, there's the normal...
on the cathedral?
Well, he would have to resist first, and he might not be able to, because of a certain little ability that Colin put in all of our character sheets called scripted.
The hell?
Weird.
Game master?
Why'd you let me put that there?
We should have done something about that.
It keeps me up at night. It's one of my greatest regrets.
Yeah, I can't... I don't think any of my abilities apply here, so Booker's catatonic.
Well, I mean, would you let him resist, or would you not?
I mean, let's try resisting. There you go. I'm trying to resist.
Okay. So, Booker, just so you know the stakes, you have one stress left.
Yep.
If you take one stress, you're going to trauma out. We don't know what that means.
Does anyone else have a buffer?
I know what that means, of course. I would let you risk it all, because it is such a narrow window of success that I'm perversely interested in seeing you gamble if you choose to do that.
Let's see.
I have another question, actually. Now that, so we are in the cathedral town and like the box has disappeared from our minds. Do we still have awaiting cathedral as an ability?
You do not. It is gone.
Okay. I thought so. Because like the alternative is if we projected stress onto the cathedral town while we're inside of it, that would probably not necessarily be any better.
It would probably be more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
All right.
So this what kind of resolve would this be, just so we can have the math on the table?
Definitely a resolve, definitely a resolve.
Okay, so what this means mechanically, mathematically, is that in order for Booker Page to survive this, on two d6s, one of them would have to come up a 6.
That's right.
Okay, that's
so low. That's not super good odds.
And I don't know what traumaing out does here.
No.
But I'll blow up if I die.
Yes, if you die.
And I don't want that to happen to you guys.
I will tell you this. You will not die if you trauma out. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, we can leave that up to you to discover.
You have about a one in three chance of succeeding on this roll.
It's like peeking an op on A Long.
It took me a second.
You know, Barkalian.
this reminds me of a little game called Counter-Strike.
I mean, all right. Let's resist it. If I'm not going to die and bring you guys down, let's do it. So do I just roll 2d6?
You just click resolve on your character sheet.
All right.
Let's see if you can break the cycle, sir. Success.
So
a 5
close.
And a 4.
You were so close.
You were so close, but unfortunately, you are going to tick over.
Rip.
That
bombing out
last thing, Booker Page.
But just success doesn't make any sense.
I did say that. It's funny, right? I was tricked for a second.
Oh god!
So you've chosen to keep your memories.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, first you get to reduce your. The good news first, which is that you get to reduce your level 3 catatonic to level 2. What's a little traumatized?
Yeah.
Shell-shocked.
Shell-shocked, whatever you want to call it. You are living with a vast amount of grief all in a very small amount of time. And I guess I'll tell you the bad part now. You see the night sky above you. What was that trauma I gave you? Or that thing I gave you back in our old Roll 20? Foreboding, right?
Yeah, that one.
Foreboding. Something bad is about to happen. Beyond the dark sky, darkling stars dance eternal over thy world. You see the night sky, even though there's no sky here. It is as if you are peering through some or another veil. And each of these stars seem to come to life, bright and shiny, just for you. And the longer you look at them, the more their light seems to stretch, until you realize that each one of these stars are not stars at all. They are simply gossamer strings as viewed from below. And you feel them prick against your skin and your scalp and your body more than you could ever count. And you know that you have been completely and utterly captured by some story. You may continue to play as Booker Page, but I will at any time and for whatever reason take away your ability to choose. You may no longer affect how the story ends.
Do the other people see this, or is this just something Booker knows inside?
They don't see the strings, but I would be interested to hear pitches on if this presents some way on how you hold yourself.
I think Maybe Booker just looks rigid, and he's already pretty quiet, but there's just something to his movement that isn't quite right. Like almost like a puppet. I don't know. That's so on the nose, but...
Parkellian seems to look at you, waiting for you to say, take it all away, or something to that effect. But you don't say anything. You just stand up. You had collapsed to your knees. You turn to your friends, and you say, and after I say it, you should say it, Brian, let's go, I'm done here.
Let's go, I'm done here.
Did you get what you wanted?
You can answer that.
He's silent. No, he's just silent.
Okay.
Well, I guess we are done here. Is Parkellian still here?
Parkellian is still here. He's just seems confused.
Well, what are you waiting for? Let's go.
Parkellian seems like he wants to ask something, but something stops him.
Something. So long, Parkellian. It was nice seeing you.
Just kind of looks around in confusion. So behind you, the way you came in, there are two vast doors of flesh on the far cathedral wall. You do not see the doorway you walked in here from. But I assume you will push on them, and when you do, they push and stretch. They bend wetly like two lips parting with thick strands of saliva draped between them. And eventually there's a sound of breaking bone and the double doors swing open, depositing you all at the front of the cathedral again. And the doors swing shut behind you and seem to seal up as if the door was never there.
That's one off the list. I guess we keep going. Next.
Yeah. Oh,
that one's gonna be me. Guess let's do this.
Onto the Tamper District.
Onto the Tamper District.
The Tamper District is a swirling mirage of undulating buildings. They seem to shift and change in front of your very eyes. There are people here, all identical to the nude man who met with you, though they are all wearing different hats, luckily. Many of them seems as if they were in the midst of doing something, repairing a liquefied roof, plugging a leak, digging a trench, saving someone from rubble, but they all seem to be frozen, stuck in a state of projected inaction. Because of this, many of them are being killed or otherwise maimed by the constantly shifting landscape around them.
Okay. I doubt there's much we can do for them. I don't know even what we would do. I don't even know if I'd want to do it. I think I'd just move on to Checker Graham's hideout.
Where's that?
Well, somewhere in here, so I'm going to start looking around. Should I survey, maybe?
Yeah, why don't you survey?
The thing is, I have minus 1D.
You do.
So help me.
You do.
Risky standard?
Sure.
Here we go.
Ooh, you do it on one dice. That's beautiful.
Amazing.
Although, wait. Oh, yeah. If you have minus 1D on survey, you'd be rolling zero dice, which would mean you have to roll another one and we take the lower. Correct?
Oh, no. Yeah. Harm's a bitch.
So another risky standard?
Just roll one die, I think.
Yeah, let's roll a d6, and we're going to take the lower value.
Which will be the second one.
R1d6, which will fuck me over.
Oh, another oh my six. God. Holy shit, that's sixes. Huge.
You motherfucker.
This guy's fine to check your grand.
Can you crit? Can you crit on zero dice?
I don't think so. I think you explicitly cannot.
Bailey grows twice as tall and his muscles.
Well, you know what, though? This isn't Blades in the Dark. This is The Digested, so I believe that you're the only one who can answer that question, sir.
Why don't I just say yes? Why don't I just say yes?
I'm a fan of this. Makes this interesting, huh?
You walk through the streets, possessed by your patented Bailey Cormick confidence that it'll all work out for you. a clock tower collapses in on itself, becoming a cafe, which explodes outwards into a farmer's market. And the people around you just get swallowed up by all this chaos. You are the only ones who seem to be able to avoid the ever-shifting bullshit of the district, as written in my notes, the bullshit of the district. And eventually you just stumble upon a familiar-looking door. Nothing particular about it. Just seems like the right one. And you enter through a door into the expanse of the cathedral yet again.
I was going to say, before he enters the door, he is going to pull out his gun and he is actually going to load it and snap it together. And then he kind of motions to the other guys that he's ready to go. And then he enters the door.
The one time I don't ask if you do something before going through a door. Sorry, go ahead.
What'd you say?
Is it a Zephyr checker?
Let's just see what we find, huh?
All right.
You enter into the expanse of the cathedral yet again, and again you feel as if the light is being drawn out of you. And in the center of the megastructure, you see a simple desk, atop which is a folder and four liquid-filled bottles.
I fast jog over to them. I think you still have
Ledger. Ledger's arm is still around you, so if you fast jog, you're hauling him along. He's doing his best, but he can't walk by himself.
You know, maybe he's fast jogging and he doesn't even remember that you're on him. So he's just like pulling you along.
Booker catches him with.
Thanks, Booker.
Like, now.
Quickly, yes.
Booker is strong. You notice strong Ledger. Dude. He just seems like way stronger than you'd think he'd be.
And you know what? That also tells you Bailey's kind of weak.
Bailey's kind of weak.
In comparison.
And you kind of get a look at his butt, and it is flat as a board.
Oh my god.
You've arrived at the documents, Bailey Cormick.
There's four vials and a bunch of documents, you said?
Four vials and a bunch of documents.
Let's pour through the documents. Let's kind of like shuffle them around.
The cover page for these documents reads... If you are reading this, you've just completed another loop. You may be confused right now, or maybe you figured it all out. Depends on the personality we decanted for you. To keep things brief and to the point, you are me, Checker Graham. I can imagine this may be unpleasant to hear, as all of the personalities are ingrained with a deep desire to find Checker Graham. I really apologize for any pain this may have caused. However, this pain serves a greater purpose. My thesis, that the City of Glass is a vast machine, was wrong. As I'm sure you're aware, this led to a great amount of personal disgrace and social difficulty for us. However, one thing I did discover on my initial journeys to prove this thesis is that this city is not a static thing. It morphs itself to those that journey into it, particularly when different people come in with the same preconceptions. I couldn't find a large enough group of people who believed my theories, so I did the next best thing. I put together a method to make myself into multiple people. If my new theory is correct, each time a new version of us goes into the city, it will become more machine. And built off of our shared but individual perception, the Graham machine theory is slowly becoming correct. Early tests have shown promising results. In fact, it seems the city is actively assisting us in completing these loops. It's very, very fascinating. You will find data in this folder of previous expeditions, as well as a number of blank reports for you to fill out. Please report on any machine interactions and supporting evidence. If the city has become machine enough to prove our theory without a shadow of a doubt, please drink the fourth potion. If not, please drink the first three potions in order after you leave the City of Glass. I have never liked relying on threats, but I do know that we can be a bit stubborn sometimes, so it is worth mentioning that if you do not eventually drink the required potions, your mind will begin fragmenting and eventually drive us utterly insane. Not that I think you would undermine our important work, but you can never be too safe. Any additional questions you have will be answered by supplementary details in this folder. There is an index after this page. I appreciate your assistance, and I look forward to our eventual success. Signed, Checker Graham.
Son of a bitch. He even got me.
I think that Ledger... I was re-listening to these episodes, and I think that... Like the other episodes when we were in the tree, and I think Ledger, after the Checker Graham apartment interaction, figured out that Bailey was Checker, and so I think that the fact that there was nobody who was Checker Graham sitting in this place when the door opened kind of confirmed it. So even though Ledger hasn't read the documents, because I imagine that Bailey's a pretty fast reader, he looks at him, he's like, let me make an educated guess. Checker Graham was you, and it's been you all along, and it's what those potions we found are for. Is that about right?
Bailey looks at you with a horrible scowl. He crumples up the paper and throws it at your face. Yeah, what do you think, idiot? Can't fucking believe this. I knew this was going to happen. We went down the well, right? You realize none of this mattered? Nothing? Nothing we've ever done? We've had no agency in anything we ever do? This totally confirms it. I mean, we're just going in circles. Anything I do is going to put me right back in this fucking town. And I'm going to get nothing done. Ever.
Well, what are these potions for, then?
They inspect the first potion?
The first three potions are familiar to you. You saw these in his room. They are the, was it Forget, Flesh, and then New Memories potions? Yeah. Those are the ones that, if you are not complete with your task yet, you should take after you leave this place. And then there's a fourth potion, which is unlabeled. And that's the one that you are meant to take if you have completed in turning the City of Glass into a machine to prove your theory.
What's that one? I don't recognize it.
Well, if my theory is correct, I chug that one. Supposedly everything finishes.
Do you have any questions for the supplementary documentation?
Can I get a quick summary on what they say?
I basically laid it out such that I have some things that I know are true. I can give you like a brief rundown, but if you have any specific questions, I can do those too. Or if you just want a quick rundown of like what things I thought you might ask, I can tell you those.
Sure. That actually sounds like a good idea.
Sure. So questions I predicted you might ask. How many loops have you done? 11 at this time is the answer to that. What does the data say? Machine interactions have been trending upwards for the most part with occasional dips, but generally trending upwards. There is definitely a way to go. You're not complete here. Another question that you might have asked is, what about the journal? What about your journal? And looking through it, while it certainly seemed to have information in it before, it does appear to be mostly blank now. And you might find in the notes that the journal itself acts on your own perceptions to drive you forward and confirm your biases. And the other question I asked, and I have more details here that aren't questions I thought you'd ask, so if you have any, feel free to ask, but what's next? And what's next is that your next persona will be a person named Jelly Swift, a thief who discovers Graham's journal during the robbery of a laboratory. The research really resonates with her, causing her to go on this journey again.
Jelly Swift, really? That's a horrible name. I don't want to be Jelly Swift at all.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's my supposedly going to get a new lady friend, Jelly Swift. That's, he taps the paper. That's me.
But then what happens if you drink the fourth bottle?
You know, I have a feeling the other 10 versions of me would not want me to do that. I grab it, and I kind of inspect it a little bit. Does it feel different? Does it look different? Any other labels on it?
As a scientist, you would probably notice that it is very thick. You roll me a study, and there's no consequences to this. I just want to see how much you can judge here as a scientist.
I'm studying, and I succeed.
Was that with a minus one dice?
Oh, on the roll thing? No, I did not.
Womp, womp. Sorry.
Okay, so that's a one. That would be a one.
Okay.
It seems thicker than the other potions. There's like a weird gray liquid in there, which you don't entirely recognize. It seems familiar, but you don't know why.
So what? You've been putting yourself through these loops for something, and then when you drink that one, you get to leave?
I was trying to confirm my theory that the City of Glass is a machine, but I think every loop is making it a machine. It's just proving what I want. Ugh, man, he sits up on the desk, and he keeps looking at the vial. And he says, you know, when we fell down that well, I really thought we died. I thought all of this was just some fucked up purgatory. And the theater gave me that idea that, of course, we'd have no agency. We'd just be playing this over and over again. So nothing really mattered. Anything that we did, we'd just be repeating. And this, he holds the papers, this confirms it. I mean, anything I do is just going to make me run through here again. And he kind of looks at the other bottle. But, you know, I could just make it wrong.
I guess that's the question, ain't it? If you think your work is more important than getting out of this endless looping purgatory you're trapped inside.
Booker finally speaks up. What'll it be, Bailey?
He kind of like weighs the drink in his hand and he like looks around.
Booker adds, and Booker, you can say this for me, you know what you have to do.
You know what you have to do.
Isn't there a part of you that just wants to watch the whole damn thing burn down?
I think Booker, I mean, Bailey, as he's like looking, you say that as he's looking at the vial, and you can see a horrible little smile creep up on his face. As he doesn't even look at you, but he does hear your words, and he's staring at the vial. And he says, "What if I just do it for them, right? The other 10. To stop the next 10. I just let them out." He kind of uncorks the bottle and he smells it a bit. What do I smell?
Smells like coming home.
Sorry, Jelly. And he swigs it.
Yes!
Your mind goes completely blank for a moment. Bailey Cormick, as you know him, is obliterated. Turned from a person into a mere archival node in the deeper recesses of your mind. Alongside the Bailey node are 14 others, the other loops you've taken into the City of Glass, plus a few test personalities during the development of the potion. You remember who you are now. You are Checker Graham, a brilliant moonborn researcher, once disgraced, now brought back to the world to live in triumph, now that you can prove your once maligned theory. Of course, there is a problem with that, which is that you did not do that. It seems the Bailey Cormick personality went rogue. It is unfortunate, as you cannot simply take the 3 existing potions right now. It would erase your core personality, which you do not want. It is disappointing, but it is a minor setback. You just need to get back to a lab, create a new 4th potion, and do some preparation before you can resume your loops. The rest of you see Bailey's body shift and change, a very painful metamorphosis which eventually leaves him about 2 inches shorter, a bit less muscular, but with much sharper facial features. He looks like a different person. Bailey, you are now Checker Graham. How you want to play him and his personality is completely up to you. You could try to resist this if you want.
But then I would trauma out because I have 1 stress left.
Unless you roll a 6.
Oh my god. Bailey, no, come back.
Welcome to the club, Bailey.
Please.
Oh, man. You know, Brian kind of set a precedent. he kind of started this, and I feel like I have to keep it going, you know? We gotta do it. I think I'm going to try to resist this no matter what.
Okay, this is going to be a resolve resist. So click the little thing that says resolve on your sheet and roll them bones. And you're going to want a 6, I believe, because you have 1 stress left.
Did anything... Well, never mind. I'm just like looking at my abilities right now to see. Do you think there's anything that could help me here? I'm just studying
Let's see.
Them,
but... Let's see.
The ebony horn box opening has already been done, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I've never projected stress on the cathedral, but I can't do this because it's not
over.
Stress.
And it's also we're done.
Yeah,
we're done.
We don't have that anymore. It's gone.
Can we go to the prize room? Do I get like a stuffed plushie for never projecting stress? Do I get anything for that?
you get an achievement for it, but you also need to get the achievement for projecting stress. So you're gonna have to replay the whole thing again to platinum it.
I forgot to make a save.
yeah, dude. Sorry.
Right before I took it.
Oh, okay. Bad luck.
Oh, man, I don't know if there's anything I could do. Yeah, I don't see anything here.
Oh, my God, the gamble. I can't lose Bailey. He's too precious to me.
The people can't. It's like Sonic Adventure 2. You can't have Shadow die. He needs to come back for the next game. Exactly. Just people like him so much.
Checker Graham seems like a dickhead. I don't want to talk to him.
He's a pompous asshole.
He's not going to hang out with us. He's going to do.
No.
Absolutely.
Oh
so,
my God.
Is it a resolve?
Resolve oh resist. You want
resolve.
A 6.
Stomach is sick.
Resolve. Just a +0, right?
Nope, yep.
Straight up.
Here we go.
No!
Wait,
you only
3.
Have 1 die?
Yeah.
Not the most resolute, man. Well, yes, that's correct. So you take 3 stress, which is going to trauma you out again.
Boom, boom, boom.
Okay. The good news is, as always, you managed to retain the most of your Bailey Cormick-ness, I would say. It is to be halfway in this situation is not great. It is very confusing. You have a lot of other personalities jostling about, but luckily, Bailey Cormick, as he is not fully repressed. He is vying for power with Checker Graham. I think your physical metamorphosis is also partially interrupted. So you're kind of trapped between them. So you look a little weird. Maybe your face looks a little liquidy, but maybe you can solve things in your own way. Maybe there's a way out of this. Almost subconsciously, you find yourself taking those three potions and tucking them in your bag for later, making a mental note that you have work to do. And like Booker, you feel those threads all over you. And you know that this is the end of your story, and that you can no longer affect how it ends. You have been taken control of by some other force. You can continue to play this character with the information I've given you about kind of being a little scatterbrained. You now know about Checker Graham. You get to keep that knowledge, his knowledge, which may come in handy. You can increase three skills by one, I would say. He's a very experienced researcher. Will you ever get to use them? Who knows? But you can do that.
Nice.
Nice trauma.
And
all three in wreck.
That is
burn
the end
motherfucker down
of your story, Bailey Cormick.
I guess, can I say anything to my friends after I've drinking this?
Is you there, can say can anything now? You want, and if I don't like it, I will say you don't say that.
Okay.
Bailey, are you still in there? What the hell's going on?
He shouldn't have done that. But I did anyways. That's how it goes, huh? You idiot.
Sounds like your next Ledger.
Everything's wrong. But you might as well go forward. Don't worry, Ledger. I could handle this idiot. I'll do it. All right? Let's just move along. Maybe we can fix it some other way.
I wish that Bailey had passed that role because I love the idea that he's just, even though he's a made-up persona, he's too stubborn and powerful to be, he just fucking beat the shit out of Thrid Checker Graham.
I mean, that is true. He did resist it. The resisting does not, failing to resist does not mean the resist fails. He did resist it.
Yeah, but he got something, something's got him.
Oh yeah, I got him.
You got
can
him.
My death maybe see these strands? I know she can't really communicate them. No, she's not on that level.
No.
Okay.
She's a GM too, actually. She can. She can do something crazy.
Yeah.
She's changing our system second time.
We're going to be playing Dread. I'm great to
play Monster Hearts. Oh, fuck.
We're going to play Monster Hearts. Hope you guys are ready to fuck.
finally.
What's that one?
We don't have time.
You fuck monsters. Let's move on. I think Ledger looks to Bailey
Graham.
Half Bailey Graham. I guess Booker grabbed Ledger, right? So he's kind of holding on to him now. He's like, I think we got one place left to go. Let's get this over with. I have some inkling as to what it is that I will find. I feel like he's getting paler. And his voice is getting a little quieter because I think he's just been bleeding all over the fucking place this whole time. Maybe it started to coagulate slightly.
Bailey Graham jumps up and he puts a hand on you. He says, you know, friend, I can help that for you. OK, just lie down and then don't let him touch you. All right. It's fine. Let's just keep moving. OK, let's just keep going.
Yeah, I would rather not. Mm-hmm. Let's move. Let's limp.
You could definitely fix Ledger, by the way. Checker Graham. You could fix that in a jiffy. That's just easy.
Bailey doesn't believe it.
okay.
Oh, you push, so poetic.
You push out of the fleshy doors of the cathedral again, and then you head to the final of the three, not four, districts. The Abdicate District is a mess of buildings, both ancient and new, melting into the sandy grounds beneath. The citizenry here sit lazily atop the rooftops, some smoking, some drinking, some simply looking up into the non-existent sky. Though these people all seem to be frozen somewhat in time, like they were in the Tamper District, that doesn't really seem to be bothering them. In fact, it seems preferable to be in stasis to their previous existence. The air here is oppressive, as if it were a secondary attribute of gravity pushing you down into the loose gray sand. You know somewhere in this district is Albright Manor, but you can see no trace of it. Either it has fallen into ruin, as to be made unrecognizable, or perhaps it is already beneath the sands.
Yeah, I forgot about this part.
Oh, Bailey, also you get to heal all your wounds now.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to remove my negative 1D. Maybe check a grab. Oh, you got yourself bit, you idiot.
Yeah, you've,
way to
you've
go.
Unlocked your latent moonborn regenerative abilities. You're not a human.
Perfect. This is good.
You're magic.
Magic now.
No, it's technology. It's totally different. Whatever.
Magic machine is fine.
Don't say it.
I can't. Ledger Gray in the digested is not good at finding things. He does not have any dots in study or in survey. He has one in hunt, but he also can't do anything without help. And rules wise, I don't know exactly what that means. Can I make skill checks, or do I need somebody to actually like spend stress to assist me, or is it enough that they're just physically assisting me?
I don't have an answer for you because this isn't a real system, but I would probably say that you either need a lot of help and you're only really helping in like spirit, or you have two stress left. That's interesting.
And don't fucking touch those.
Or you can have someone else do it. You know, Checker Graham, he is so good at finding things. You would not believe it.
Bailey, I'm not Booker. I can't move. Everything's going a little bit fuzzy. Do you think you can get me to the manor? I don't know where it is. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it is here somewhere.
You'd be a lot better if you just let me patch you up. How's that sound?
I want to talk to the other one.
I'm right here. What do you need?
I need to find the manor.
We can get you to the manor easily. Right, Checker?
Whatever.
Okay. You want to roll a survey? You can put another... Did you add your three dots yet?
I'm putting all three in survey. We have four shit. In survey. The greatest, the greatest explorer in the world.
Checker knows where to go.
Yeah.
Checker is so good at knowing where to go.
Idiot. Let me show you how it's done.
Partial success on four dice. That's kind of crazy.
Did you actually?
You did a 5-2-2-4.
All mine were successes. That's interesting.
Shut up.
Yeah. What does a partial success even look like here?
Stub your toe.
Yeah. I don't even think
you just got to do it right.
I don't have any consequences for you that would even matter at this point.
Just damage his pride a little.
Yeah, but whose pride? Bailey's? Yeah, it's Bailey's pride. It has to be.
I was going to say Checker's.
No, Bailey. That's what you want, so you can't have it.
Yeah, Bailey tries to lead on the search, and that's what kind of gets you stuck. And then Checker has to intervene, and you recognize a broken chimney sticking out of the sand, made of the unique pink, almost fleshy stone that the manor was made out of. It is a bit of an angle, but you may very well be able to slide down into the manor. Pretty fun.
Checker Bailey Graham points to it. I believe you're looking for that, friend.
All right. Hoist me up over it. I'm going to go down first.
Right. They help you up.
Okay.
I think that Ledger's going to unholster his pistol in his good hand, even though he knows it's not going to do him any good at all.
It's the sliding down building rail shooter section. I love this.
Gotta grab all the ammo pickups around the entrance.
Watch out for that helicopter.
So you don't stop, lock
yourself. No! Jump! Okay. I guess you all go down after him unless you wait for him to slide down first, in which case you do not hear from him again.
And then I slide down after.
You slide down the chimney and you are deposited into the ramshackle. Actually, I don't even have to ask you. You two, Booker and Bailey, you do slide down after him because I said so.
Agency! My agency!
That's right.
Yay.
I knew you would have stayed up there the whole time to break the game, you fuckers.
Damn it.
You slide down the chimney and you're deposited into the ramshackle, dusty sitting room of Albright Manor. A strange, ethereal light filters through the windows. You find that outside this room is not an expanse of sand at all, but what looks to be a vast chamber of glass. You see buildings pushing through the top of the chamber, encircled in molten blue glass, which freezes them in architectural stalactites of shining blue crystal. And within those crystals, the buildings seem to be changing, undergoing an unknowable metamorphosis, preparing for a world that comes after. Many of the manor's doorways have collapsed into heaps of glass, which have grown through the building. The remaining method of egress, it seems, is up the main stairwell to the top level, to the master's office. And Bailey Graham so helpfully says, looks like there's only one way to go.
Looks like there's only one way to go.
Now, y'all think that Albright's gonna be there? He said he was gonna meet us after what comes next, after the end. Could he be both here and there, and me?
You know, maybe we could ask him. Just kidding.
He pulls out the sack of downfall.
How about his little buddy? Do you got anything to say? Is there anything in the sack of downfall?
Yeah. He's slowly forming into like a little man.
Really?
He seems to be upset. Something is really upsetting him.
I think Bailey's holding the little man in his hand, and then Checker Graham closes the fist hard and squishes him.
No! No! Well, he's a bunch of beetles. I don't know if he's a one palm squish size.
That's horrible.
Unless I'm wrong.
I agree. You do that. It seems like he's about to say something, and then Checker Graham suddenly kills him. And he says,
gross little creature.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the line. Thank you.
Even like shell-shocked, Booker looks taken aback.
Booker says, that was the right thing.
That was the right thing.
Thank you.
What's the matter with both of you? He was maybe not our friend, but we had some kind of responsibility to him. What did you go kill him for?
He's a false magician, Ledger. Don't worry about it.
A magician? What in the hell? I think maybe for the first time since something happened to these two, Ledger looks at both of them askew, but realizes that he can't even move on his own, so there's not really anything to be done. He's like, finally, let's just go up.
Ledger and Booker both take one side of you, and they say almost in unison, let's get you where you're going.
Let's get you where you're going.
You are led up the stairs.
I have no agency here.
With each step, the path grows more and more constricted, bulging blue masses of crystal pressing in on the house until you are forced to walk single file, your friends helping you, one behind, one ahead, until you reach the office door. And now you are there at the locked door, behind which there is the heavy scratch of a clumsy hand failing to write a letter, and the occasional heaving, fleshy movement of something much too large straining against a chair. Booker and Bailey, do you have a shotgun? Booker, Bailey has a shotgun, right? And Booker, mm-hmm. do you have any big guns? Who has big guns?
Booker.
Ledger actually has a bolt-action rifle.
Okay, I'll let Bailey do this one. Bailey Graham takes out a shotgun and says, this is quite pointless. And he shoots the lock off the door, and it flings open.
This is quite pointless. Bang! There you go. He says bang.
And you find yourself in the cathedral again. At the center of the cathedral is a confession booth. One side is occupied. You can see the tight confines bulging outward. A piece of blackened flesh has slipped out between the seams of one of the doors, twitching and dripping. Ledger, your death seems to shudder, conveying a dual sense of recognition and confusion, like looking at an unrecognizable corpse of a loved one, maimed and mutilated by yond identity, and yet still seeing who it is beneath the violence.
I think that, are we, I assume we're moving towards the confession booth?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I think Ledger says, okay, put me inside. Baby, you stay out here. I don't want you to have to see this.
So you're going the other side of the confession booth, I assume.
Yes, yeah, the open. I'm not going to try. I just squeeze in here, guys.
Excuse me. Yeah, you know, busy.
Mind if I open this up? Okay. You enter the confession booth. There is the sound of heavy breathing on the other side of it. It, like I said, it's almost bulging outward. Something very large is there. And it stinks. A odor that's like a indescribable cosmic rot is what I have listed here. And it is silent, waiting for you to make the first move.
All right, I guess we might as well get this underway then. I have, I think, pieces, small pieces of the story, but no real understanding. I cannot know how this has happened to me or why. I have some understanding that I once was a man named Virgil Albright, and then I died, and then I came back, and I no longer believe that the institute that claims to have brought me back is as important as I perhaps once believed they were. How am I doing so far?
Continue.
I know that you're here and you're also somewhere beyond, and I don't know if it's the same you. I don't know if you're a piece of me or if I'm a part of you or if we're just one and the same running at different times. It seems like cause and effect similarly are no longer as important as I perhaps once believed them to be. I don't know what to do next, but I have this overwhelming sense that I have been trapped in something, perhaps for several eternities, and I need to get out. And I cannot articulate why, but I feel like my window is closing slowly but steadily.
Yes. The truth is, I lost some part of myself at some point. I hadn't realized it until it was too late, and that part came back as you. I would say by coincidence, but I don't believe in such things anymore. This has all been masterminded, scripted. I'm sure you've seen things that would evidence this. Yes, Ledger Gray?
Yeah, why don't you tell me something? Is that distant place that I feel like I came from, that every waking moment of my conscious existence has been an attempt to crawl my way back to, was that ever real, or is it just an idea stuck in my head?
It's real. It is real as anything else. But the fact that you were put here, in these circumstances, in this story, the way that you were, I do not know that you ever stood a chance to get back. That is, of course, there is no chance to get back you should take. Does that make sense?
That's a hell of a thing to hear coming from you. I hope you can understand how hollow it seems.
There are greater things at stake than your afterlife, Ledger Gray. Our afterlife.
And what is she then, really?
She is as she seems. The promise of peace. Maybe reachable to another. But for you and I, there is no peace.
So then what happens next?
I want to send you somewhere. The three of you, what's left of you at least, using the ribbon.
Where's that?
Some time ago, I sent a sealer beneath the wandering sea using that same ribbon. He had a different objective than what he effected. All he did, for one reason or another, that I
cannot understand. He merely used it to seal away the hungry god. A trifling thing compared to his ultimate task. I would have you intercept him.
You want us to stop the sealer?
Yes, or... I don't know exactly his reasons. Perhaps something came up in his journey. But it's not the ending we should have had. Just locking away the hungry god, I don't see its purpose. It was chasing us, yes, but we had greater plans to fix everything. All of it.
And so that's what you believe, then? We stop him from doing what he did and we fix everything. You still believe everything can be fixed?
There are forces that I did not believe we could ever harness. But I spent my life, I gave my body and my mind to discover ways to subvert them. And if we can use those forces, we can write a new ending to this story. Do you understand the potential that lies there?
That is a big question, ain't it? Do I understand? I don't understand much of anything. Why don't you tell me something? Are you the Virgil Albright that shot himself with a void bullet and promised to meet me after the end? Or are you something different? Are you an earlier loop or a mirror or a copy?
I am Virgil Albright.
Yeah, join the fucking club. That ain't so special anymore. So what then? All this pageantry with the confession booth is just so you could ask me a favor?
I would ask you to do what needs to be done. What else would you do? Sit here, wait for the ink to flow over?
Is this just going to put us in another loop? Are we going to be riding on these circular rails?
Truthfully, I do not know. But I do know that the ending that was written before did not get us where we needed to go. It didn't fix anything. If I'm going to be stuck in a loop, at least make it the right one. Things are always changing, Ledger Gray. Even if we walk similar trails, the seasons change.
And what if I say no? What if I don't do it?
I don't know what happens then. I truly do not know. I don't know what happens if you do it either. I would tell you what to write, but something stops me from doing that. Do you ever get that feeling?
Yeah. I have one last question for you. Do you know what Halo was?
No. I thought Halo might have been a way out when I saw him. I thought there was potential, that there was a fourth option, a fourth district. But something went wrong, something beyond our understanding. Something that had to happen or was forced to happen. I wish I knew. I wish I had something I could tell you to make it make sense. Any of it.
I think Ledger tries to stand, and he doesn't do it so successfully. I don't know what it is that awaits us further on. I don't know if it matters. I don't know if it makes even the slightest difference. I don't know if I say yes or if I say no, a single thing will change. I feel like I've been cast about on tides of which I have absolutely no control or understanding, just buffeted around, and now I think I'm dying. I don't even know why I'm saying all this.
Yes, you do. Some part of you understands.
I think he's going to try to leave the confession booth.
You step out. You're in the cathedral. Booker and Bailey have been standing very still.
I feel like he doesn't look at either of them. He looks at his death. And he kind of gives her a little smile, a flash of the old ledger just for a second. That gold tooth maybe glints just a tiny little bit. And he looks back and he's like, what are you two standing around like mannequins for, huh?
Waiting for you to finish your part.
Well, as above, so below. Virgil Albright wants us to do a little job for him.
Oh, of course. How much longer must this go on?
Another?
That's the question, ain't it? How much longer must it go on for? Maybe forever. Maybe not. Do you remember that dead fellow we found way back under the Wandering Sea, red robe, sealer type?
Yeah, what about him?
He wants us to stop him from sealing the friendly man, the hungry god, in the first place.
Is that something you want to do?
I thought I knew what I wanted once. Now, I have no idea. What do y'all think?
The only way out is through, says Booker Page.
The only way out is through.
You know, I used to believe that. But now I ain't so sure.
Bailey Cormick says, we should at least take a look. We can always back out after we go down.
I mean, we can always back out after we go down.
Just like we could back out of the well.
They both
get a horrible smile.
Damn.
I think Ledger's had his pistol in his hand the whole time. And I feel like he's got the ribbon kind of clutched between his hand and, like, the handle of his pistol. And he's looking at it. In truth, I'm trying to decide if he shoots himself in the head or not. And I really don't know the answer to that.
Hmm. Good question.
That's a really good question. Oh, man. I'm gonna roll the die.
Leave it up to fate.
What if you just did a revolver and you spun it?
One bullet in time.
Russian roulette style.
Listen, if you're gonna go out, go out in style.
I would also like to hear, why is Ledger shooting himself in the head? What's his rationale?
I think his rationale right now is that he has become convinced, especially after all of the Checker Graham stuff, that they're stuck in an endless, never-ending loop. And he isn't sure if Virgil is offering him a way out or if it's just a way back to start the whole thing again, and he wonders if maybe killing himself would let him out. How about this? I have an idea.
Sure.
Ledger kicks open the, so it's like a, it's a single action revolver, so he opens it, and he starts using the little lever thing, and he empties 5 of the chambers.
Okay.
And then he closes it, and he, like, rolls the wheel up his sleeve. Oh, he can't do that. He rolls it along his leg, until it clicks. So, I'm gonna roll a d6, and that's gonna be one of the chambers. Colin, you can decide what chamber the bullet is in. You can have it kill him.
I think you know what chamber I'm going to choose. 6. You have to roll a 6.
I don't know if I want to. Let's see. I got a 1. Nope. She clicks!
Click.
I think he sighs, and he holsters it, and he says, alright then, let's go see.
Okay.
I think he looks at the booth. He just assumes something is going to happen.
A little, tendril almost beckons you towards the booth. Little black, purple flesh, not even recognizable as human.
I guess we gotta go in.
All of us?
Yeah. I ain't doing this by myself.
You guys pile into the booth. It's kind of crowded.
Whoever's at Ledger's left side is definitely getting bled on.
Ugh. Gross.
Maybe it's Bailey Graham. Checker Graham is not happy about it.
Virgil says,
I will need the ribbon.
Huh. Ledger is very, very hesitant to let it go, but I think he does.
Virgil talks to himself a little bit, and he says, "We will use a ribbon to gnaw a hole in the world, to send you to intervene. The ribbon is the means in which we can bypass these constraints. I have seen my fate, and it is to give myself to this force so that you may go. There is some private part of myself that wonders that even if the ribbon had not arrived, that this still would have happened, that you would be forced back to the beginning again by some force of this script. I have one last thing to ask you. I know it is a great burden, but I think you knew as well as I do this whole time what it would all come down to. In order to give this the highest chance of working, of changing anything, I must give myself to the Hungry God, as much as I can, as much as is left in this world. I would need my death, our death. It would be a great boon and a great mercy to me. I know how much she means to you. It is your choice, both of your choices. But I do fear there will be no place for her in what is to come, or if you would even want her to see it."
"What's going to happen to her?"
"We will be swallowed utterly, and you will be cast out, the three of you."
I feel like he looks at her. How does she, what is her expression like?
She seems almost like she's being pulled between two places right now, like physically, almost like she's fuzzing out a little bit. She looks at you with a sad expression, hopeless even, but with a great weight of predetermination, something you felt. And I think she nods to you. I think you get the feeling that she wishes that she could have taken you back to the afterlife, like you thought you would go to, but that now it doesn't seem like that is possible, and that this is the only real good she can do here and now.
I think he reaches up, and maybe the flesh mask kind of slips, and he becomes more skeletal again, but he, like, maybe for the first real time, he touches her, and probably, like, touches her face, and then pulls her in and kisses her and then lets her go. Maybe whispers something in her ear, but nobody can hear what it is. And then he lets her go.
She gives you that one last little sad smile and then detaches from you for the first time, truly. It is like a heavy blanket being taken from you in the dead of winter, and you feel truly exposed as a cold begins to set in. The cold of a death that you thought you would never have to suffer. And she goes through the confession booth to the other side, and you hear Virgil's voice ask all of you, "Are you ready for the end?"
"Gladly."
"Yeah."
"Yes."
"Think long and hard about how you would end this story."
And Booker and Bailey in unison say, "I will."
I will.
There is the sound of straining. Oh, did you hand over the ribbon already?
Yeah, maybe when he loses his death, he slides it through the little hole or whatever, gives it to the flesh tentacle.
Sure. A weird little nasty tentacle grabs it. And yep. There is a sound of straining sinew and the cracking of bone. Booker and Bailey hurry you out of the confession booth. The cathedral bends and snaps around you, its vaulted ceiling become the ribbed, hard palate of a vast mouth, its bony windows shifting and bending until teeth emerge from above and below. The whole structure shrinks and closes around you. Farther in, the back of the cathedral stretches away from you, plunging off into a dark tunnel of a reeking throat. Beneath you, the ground shifts and bends as a curious tongue awakens, lapping at your feet and undulating. You see the confession booth housing Virgil Albright and your death be swept away, down the throat, into its maw, swallowed entirely. And then the great biological estuary begins to rumble from beneath. The tongue rolls in confusion and disgust, casting you violently to the ground. And then, suddenly, there is a stillness. The mouth stays frozen for a moment before the rumbling explodes upwards from its throat, bringing with it an overwhelming torrent of thick, black water. The tides show you no mercy, and you are utterly thrown and pummeled by their waves. You feel yourself spinning, cast out from this great maw, out the lips that were once doors of a cathedral, and then you are sinking down, down deep into a great and familiar body of water. Freed from the buoyancy of your stories, you sink towards the end beyond the end, to the finale, to the epilogue, to the stage, to the sound of clapping hands, and to the smell of curtains older than time and story. And that is where we will leave it until next time.
Oh my god.
Damn.
Damn, I feel really sad.
We're puppets now, really.